Good morning. Glad to have Rick Windham right alongside us as we waste no time getting the KODY phone lines as we have State Senator Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update and our first update with Senator Groney since the session began last Wednesday. Mike, how's the state capitol treating you so far?
I'm good. Good. Not much has happened. We just check in and drop bills. I don't know. We've dropped 7 or 8 or 9. I can't remember bills. Most of minor cleanup bills. But anyway, we start today full day debate on the Constitutional Convention, LR 14. It's a strange topic because on emails we get and phone calls we get, it's actually the conservatives 50-50 who like it or hate it. Don't get much from the left at all. So it's a hard one to decide on. I told Halloran I'd give him a vote on the first round, but as long as there wasn't no more vote trades like we did at the end of last session. And I don't know where I'm at on it at the end of the day. But that final reading will come later. There'll be a lot of issues come up between there. I guess I'm too much of a pragmatist. We got a pretty good constitution, and if they're not obeying it now, what makes you think they'll obey it if you change it? I mean, if the majority of the people discard it, it's like having the Ten Commandments. If God can't keep people in line, what the heck does I think I can by changing the rule book if nobody wants to follow the rules? But anyway, it's one of those. We're all grasping for straws. The country's not going in the right direction. The world isn't going in the right direction, but I guess according to the good book, it's not supposed to. So we're all coming up with these ideals of how we're going to save the world, and I don't think we can do it. But it's something they're trying. It's the problem with the convention is it's who's in charge and who's going to. I mean, we're not the majority now. How are you going to be the majority on a convention of states? And you could lose your Second Amendment rights. You could lose some. They could add some rights. Anyway, they could do the right thing. Term limits is a great ideal for federal elected officials. That's one of their big pushes, and then a balanced budget. But we're so far past there that I don't know how you'd ever get to that point. But you got to try because you can't keep printing money. And then we're going to be talking about Senator Clements's. The next bill up would be 310. That's his priority. Get rid of inheritance tax, and I don't know where I'm on that either. When I watch Senator Hunt and Senator DeBoer, who are trust fund babies, and I look Susie Buffett and wonder why they should be given a free pass with all that inheritance without having to have to hold a decent job. They can run for office. Or Susie Buffett. Our George Soros in the state of Nebraska didn't do a damn thing to make the billion she has. Why I should worry about her paying inheritance tax. But I don't know. I don't know what, plus it does help the counties out. A lot of land nowadays isn't owned by locals. And it helps keep the property tax lower. My family paid it when our time came. I don't know. It's one of those that, you know, I was talking to another senator on the way in. I said, well, who's going to pay the taxes? I said, I watch people override governor's veto on food stamp expansion, and I watch people override the governor's veto on giving more money for fuel assistance, heating assistance. I watched them spend money left and right, and I'm sitting there going, well, you don't want to pay it, but who's going to pay it then? I worked hard to keep spending down. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the mindset where get the trade votes for your deal, you vote for spending, and then hopefully you get personally a tax cut. So I don't know where I'm on that either. We're getting a lot of emails from county officials who rely on that inheritance tax or special projects to keep this emergency fund, to keep property taxes down. And then after that, the next bill would be LB 364, adopt the Opportunity Scholarship Act and provide tax credits. I'm 100% for that. That's Senator Linehan's help people get their kids, a good Christian family, get their kids out of secular humanist public schools. We get a lot of emails from administrators and stuff that we're somehow taking money away from public schools, and that's as far from the truth as possible. This bill has absolutely nothing to do with the funding of public schools. Nothing. It has to do with somebody donating money to a scholarship fund, and it doesn't have to be a Christian school. It can be any private school.
Sure.
Kids can get a good education. It's about diversity in education opportunities is what it is. Absolutely nothing to do. What they worry about, the fanatics in public education, is that they're losing control of a child's mind, that they can social engineer it. They can teach it what their values are. And they don't like that. They want all the children in the same room being taught the same stuff. That's the only motive I can think why they are against this. Nothing to do with the funding of the school. Actually, because if you get kids out of the public school, which costs $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 a kid, it actually diverts that money to the other kids, you know, to a point, the property tax base for sure. But because that those parents are still paying property taxes, but their kids aren't using the government school. So I understand it, but it's a sad reality of why, when you come to understand why they don't support it and why they fight it so fanatical, why the left fights it. They want to control what your kids' values are, too, not just their own. So I'm fully for that bill. And then Senator Calvin, I was bringing back her development disabilities and her families. I'm not against that as much as some folks would be. Those are the folks who actually need some help. They're not deadbeats sitting on a couch. They have a lot of families have a lot of costs with they have a child with disabilities. So, and it's not a dramatic amount of money. I mean, they limit how much each family could get. But we'll see when we get to that one. It'll probably be later in the week. I'm assuming. I don't know. The good thing about if you're lucky enough to get your bills up first, and we want to believe that everything is done on passed in government on its merits of the bill and what's good for society, but that's hogwash and unicameral. It's all about feeling good and getting along, and everybody tries to get along at the end of this first part of the session. So they've got something in the back of their mind that they want passed. So they'll look the other way and vote for some bills early on, hoping that person will vote for their bill later, even though they totally disagree with it or their constituents totally disagree with it, majority of them. They will vote for something early on, trying to be collegial, is I guess the catchphrase is. And so if you're lucky enough to get your bill up first, you got a good chance of getting it done. Now, most of these bills, if it came at the end of the session, would be huge filibusters. I'm telling you, these four bills or five bills drew filibusters in the past. But in the front of the session, we might get some of them passed, good or bad.
Interesting.
But it's reality. That's why smart senators try to get their bills up first, because everybody's getting along. We're all in it together. But and that's going on. I wanted to make a couple clarifications. I read in the paper about micro-TIF being used out at the airport. That is not my intent at all. The reason I brought micro-TIF is for the average person, a small businessman who didn't have to jump through the hoops of the CRA about whose real estate agent they were dealing with, what bank they were dealing with, that they could workforce housing. They could put a house together on their own labor and save some taxes. The same with a small business person in the existing part of town. I'm glad that editorial came out because I reread the language. What I assumed, never assumed, that a structure would be in the city for 60 years. Don't assume that a platted piece of ground is in the city for 60 years. I'm going to add that it must be in the city limits for 60 years prior to being able to use TIF. I want something used on West 3rd Street. I want it on the older parts of town. That's what I want micro-TIF used on. It's just disgusting that there are some individuals who will use it for profit. for economic development and profit. It just amazes me.
There was also a story, Mike, in the last week where City of North Platte, apparently the city attorneys have determined that nothing smaller than a block could be used for micro-TIF.
I didn't see that. I have to look it up.
Check that one out, because I know your intent was to be able to, you know, each individual homeowner could do it.
Blighted.
Yeah.
It has to be blighted and substandard. They might be talking about the practicality of it. But I'll look at it. It's a lot better than saying it has to be a whole section of town, which it doesn't. It doesn't say that anywhere in the law. But I will look at that. I can't read everything every day. But no, that one, and then it was implied when I visited with the reporter, which he's a good man, that I don't believe there was election fraud. There's always election fraud. That I didn't believe the election was stole. I don't know if it was stole. My point was this. I don't have the time and effort to chase after trying to overturn a past election. That's what I meant. But what I can do as a state senator is try to make sure that it doesn't happen again, at least in Nebraska. So, I'm a man of too many words sometimes, but when a reporter tries to summarize it, it doesn't come out as what my intent was. I did not say I didn't believe the election was. I don't know is what I said. My problem with this, the theory about the stolen election is you can find evidence, but you can have a smoking gun, but no, it's hard to get traction until you can have a suspect. There's no suspect. Who? Some computer hacker in Russia? What? Who did this? I mean, that's what I keep telling them. Get me a suspect. But even at that, as a state senator, I can't control that. That's a national issue. But there is some evidence that there was something happened in Sarpy County. There's some evidence. That was the big one. There's a couple of close legislative races that look a little odd. I still have the opinion that the biggest fraud is early voting, early absentee ballots. Mail-in ballots, because it's too easy to, when you have ballots floating around out there for a month, over a month, for somebody to, an organization like Acorn did in the Obama election, and like Senator Moorfield's Civics Nebraska does, go door-to-door and convince people who have no idea what's going on. I miss reading the paper once in a while, but there's some folks never read one, and help them fill out the ballot. Or actually go out and help them, get them to call, first go out and canvass an area and get them to send out mail-in ballot, and then go back a week or so later and help them fill it out. There's pretty good substantial evidence that a lot of that is going on. We can stop that. One of the bills I'm bringing is that there be a pouch on the mail-in ballot envelope that you have to insert a copy of your voter identification, the same requirements that you have to use when you register to vote, either a picture of your license, a government document, a utility bill, something that has your name, date, and address, so that, now that's a lot harder for somebody to get their hands on some ballots and fill them out for somebody else if they also have to get somebody, each individual, a copy of a identification and mail it in with the ballot. But we're bringing a bill of that sort. We're also bringing a bill. There's a group of us. I don't know who's going to bring which one. One on that you on the voting machines that the Secretary of State will have, and technicians hired that go around before every election and open them up, make sure there isn't any technology in it that can transmit, if it's sitting dormant, that can transmit voter anything from it. And then if a technician from the company who sold them the ballot machines ever opens a machine up, there has to be an employee of the Secretary of State there to observe what the private employee does. it's foolishness when I hear somebody say, well, it's a private company, and we bought the machines from them, and they have authority over any service. What? It's no. It'd be like saying, and I don't know, an M1 or what, M16, that whoever made those, it's an army, and nobody could clean them except the technician from the the company. Really? I mean, it's foolishness.
So this is LB 785 that you're talking a little bit about, Senator Groney, that you introduced last week, the regulations to early voting.
No, that's just another bill.
Oh, okay.
That's the one that shortens the days. I said I'm writing. Oh. That one had been dropped. I worked on it last year. I'm just changing it so that we go from 35 days to a max of 22 days on early voting. It gives the harvesters, the ballot harvesters, less time to go out and canvass and try to get to vote for people on their kitchen table. So I don't know. I don't know if it'll go anywhere, any of them, but we need to start the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, and I did say to the reporter that there's a lot of people put a lot of hard work into this. They care deeply about our country and the rights we have and their individual rights and their individual vote, make sure it counts, that have put a lot of effort into election investigating and election fraud to see if it happened in the state of Nebraska, and they deserve a platform. And they can come down and testify on some of these bills. So, anyway, it is what it is, so I'm still active. Last 58 days or 57 days here. But there's some other issues came up. You heard the governor and Senator Linehan talk about cutting taxes. I'm all for getting rid of Social Security. That's for the average person. But I absolutely will filibuster any bill that has any more corporate income tax cuts. Somebody's got to pay for government. Somebody has to pay for it. Same thing I said with inheritance. You want all these benefits, but who's paying for it? And I'd just soon have an international corporation pay some taxes than the average citizen working hourly for a wage. So corporations don't give a damn about us, so I don't really have much care about them. But and they're all doing well, and especially in the state of Nebraska, we have the lowest unemployment in the nation. We really don't need to bribe anybody to come here to build, to work a corporation because we don't have the workers. Why don't we have the workers? Because our taxes to the individual are too high, not to the corporation. People who are self-sufficient, don't look to government for things, aren't going to live in Nebraska. They're going to go somewhere where they can keep more of their hard-earned money. So anyway, that's another issue that's coming up. And I'm going to tell Senator Linehan and the governor that if you combine the two bills together, I'm not on. But if the Social Security bill is separate, I'm full bore in favor of that. But not the corporate income tax cuts. So anyway, a lot happening. A lot of information there. So anything else?
I think some of the big news out of the legislature, too, early on, Senator Groney, is the fact that Senator Slama introducing some very pro-life measures. I think it was the first day of the session, but the State Patrol having to investigate threats that she's received because of bills that she's introduced, it's just ridiculous. And some of the messages that it sounds like Senator Slama's received, too, is just, you wonder what the heck is wrong with people.
Oh, I don't wonder. I remember it happened to me. I just didn't run to the press and tell them about it. That didn't trust him, but I've had death threats. That's why I have a post office box. I mean, serious death threats. But I'm the one that's uncollegial, and Senator Slama the one that's uncollegial, and I don't mind those left-wingers. I know where they stand. It's the moderate Republican who backstabbed me and Slama because we're too controversial. Standing for what's right, they wouldn't vote for us for a chair. Because, you know, you got to do it. You got to do it secretly in the back room on the city council or the county commissioners. You don't do it, and you don't draw attention to what we're doing. Now, Senator Slama, I'm with her 100%, but I went through it too. There's evil out there. There's an awful lot of it.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
And this bill, oddly enough, is supposed to prevent some evil too, but yet it's resulting in some evil.
Well, it didn't create the evil. That was there long before.
Sure.
Slama dropped her bill
mm-hmm.
with these individuals. But anyway, no, it is what it is. the world we live in.
Unfortunately.
If you're naive enough that it isn't out there, you better wake up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and it's moving fast. But we keep trying to hold back the flow as much as we can.
You said today, Senator Groney, there's going to be some bill debate that begins on the legislative floor?
Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. Started the conversation with LR 14, the Convention of States, is up first today.
Okay. And so will there be a lot of bill debate this week then on the,
yeah,
on the legislative
week,
floor?
Every one of those bills I summarized for you is up this week.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, the Clements' inheritance tax, Linehan's Opportunity Scholarship Act. Like I said, I'm full on board with it. Mm-hmm. Kavanaugh's, if we get that far, we should. Because we're having an all-day debate. We don't have committee hearings yet. So we started at 11 today.
Okay.
So and anyway, that's where we're at.
Off on Friday, I think, isn't it?
Not sure. I think we are, yeah.
So, all right. Well, we'll talk to you again next Monday, Senator Groney.
Yeah, a lot happens, so we'll have a lot to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thank you. Thanks
guys, Mike,
for letting me talk to my constituents.
Absolutely.
Right. Go get them, Mike.
Lincoln County State Senator, District 42 State Senator, we should say, Mike Groney joining us for our weekly legislative update this morning. Today does mark the fourth day of the 107th second regular session of the Nebraska unicameral. State senators convene at 11 a.m. today. And I've got my calendar here. State senators convene today. They're in session Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, off on Friday, and off next Monday, and then have the four-day work week next week with the 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Your time and temp brought to you by Mike and the crew from your local Grease Monkey. You can find them on the ones in North Platte. 827, and it's 13 degrees. Sunny today with a high near 46. Clear this evening with a low around 15. Tuesday, mostly sunny, with temperatures climbing all the way to the upper 40s. On Wednesday, it'll be in the low 50s, upper 50s come Thursday, but then cooling off for the weekend as we have temperatures back on Saturday in the upper 30s, then the mid-40s on Sunday. Again, your time and temp brought to you by Mike and the crew from your local Grease Monkey. You can find them on the ones in North Platte. 828, and it's 13 degrees on our way to a high today near 46, which is going to feel pretty darn good, Rick, but not as good as Thursday's 58.
Nope. And we need to have a caution for the ice fishermen out there.
Yes, absolutely.
There was probably 15 guys out on the ice in Lake Maloney this weekend.
Oh, my goodness,
and,
really?
And had their huts up and whatever. But I'm seeing some signs of pressure ridges forming in the ice, which means the ice is not totally solid. It's moving. And these temperatures are going to thin it, so be very careful.
Absolutely. Have to proceed with caution. We're going to step aside for a quick news break on Mugs in the Morning. We'll have a member of the National Weather Service office joining us next on KODY. And Mugs in the Morning, as always, presented to you by local shelter insurance agents Brent Rogo, Pete Bowles, and Bo Witt. For home, life, auto insurance, and more, call the Shelter Guys of North Platte.